Hey, guys, a little special edition here. We'll probably do this every week or every Saturday moving forward, but after the game, basketball on ESPN 106.7, Charlie Five and myself are live from Baumhauer's. It's broadcast every Saturday immediately after the Auburn basketball game, live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill off of Bent Creek in Auburn. Let's jump into it. Yes. You're listening to After the Game Basketball Edition. Zach Blackerby, Kyle Rush here with you. Broadcasting live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill off of Bent Creek in Auburn. And the Auburn Tigers defeating the Yale Bulldogs 86-64, which is exciting. We were talking about it earlier. The magic number was 14. Auburn obliterated that. But the Tigers looked good in this one from start to finish.
Oh, yeah. Got in there early. Took down the Nerds quick. I think we had like six blocks out of their first 10 or 11 shots. Just out-physicaled them early and jumped on them quick, and they couldn't really respond.
Right. Who do you think was kind of the guy that got things rolling in this one? I mean, KD Johnson has just been on an incredible tear. And, look, he's had higher scoring games, but the efficiency from this one is kind of the thing that is standing out to me. 19 points on 7 of 12 shooting, 3 of 7 from deep. This may have been his most efficient game of the season so far.
KD definitely was a spark early. Jabari jumped out pretty quick, scoring early, and had a big, you know, highlight reel dunk somewhere in the middle of the first half. It was great. It was fun to watch. A lot of different guys got in the game. A lot of different guys got to get some experience, so it was good stuff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jabari Smith, worth the price of admission, 17 points on 6 of 14 shooting. He made 3 of his 4 free throws, but nobody in a double-double. No, Devin Cambridge got a double-double. Yeah, good for him. 10 rebounds for Devin Cambridge. Wow, that's got to be a season high, right?
I would think that's got to be close to his season high. That's one thing. You know, people talk about when Flanagan comes back, that's going to be the role he steps in. Devin gives you a lot of energy on those hidden stats, you know, offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds, you know, just playing tough defense. He hit his first three threes tonight, if I'm not mistaken. He started off 3 for 3.
Yep, you're right.
I'm sorry, 2 for 2. He was shooting the ball well. That's good to have right now.
I know, he only made 2 threes, so there we go. Guess his foot was on the line for one of them.
Must have been.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, we'd love to hear your thoughts on this basketball game or anything going on in the SEC basketball-wise. Very busy day today. 334-321-1390 is how you can be a part of the show. Our guy Caden, who is our studio engineer today, will take care of all of that and get you in on the show in a timely manner there. But all right, so this Yale team, you know, a team that's not afraid to play 11 guys, that was kind of the storyline going into this. Both these teams like to run if given the opportunity. Both teams are not afraid to play the vast majority of their roster if they need to, but that's kind of Auburn's thing too at a higher level so far this season. And I think I expected Yale to stay in this longer than they did, if I'm being 100% honest with you. But I think it was like a 10-0 clip to start the game.
11.
It was an 11? Yeah, and so like that was just, I mean, it was never a game after that.
They made a good run there in the first half until about, 10 minutes or so, and then we kind of put our foot down, and it was just couldn't really respond. I mean, like, the block percentage has to be just incredible as far as on their shot attempts, possessions that we had a block. I think we had 13 or 14 in the game, which is incredible. We're somewhere like close to seventh in the country, I think, in block shots, which is incredible. I just think our length was just way too much for them. They couldn't really make it. They couldn't really get back in it because all they had to do was shoot. They would have to shoot from outside, which they didn't shoot terrible from outside. Didn't have a whole lot going inside for them.
Yeah, and this Yale team, they start four guards, you know, so that's kind of their thing. They're undersized, but that's why they like to run. And in the Ivy League, they're able to do that. And, you know, they have the second-best player in the Ivy League, this Swain kid. And he had 9 points, which was third on their team, but he shot it 15 times, 1 of 7 from 3, so he never really got anything going there. But you mentioned the blocks. Kyle. It was Auburn blocked 14 shots. Yale blocked one. If that's not a size difference, I don't know what is.
14 shots in a game blocked is incredible.
That's crazy.
That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, we continue to do it. I feel like we got guys that are real headsy about that. They're able to time it. That's not so much even a length thing as it is a timing thing.
Right.
Something that you practice over and over again.
You're right.
And we do it better than just about anyone in the country right now.
Yeah, Yale shot it 65 times and 14 of them were blocked. I mean, that's terrible. Like, that is abysmal if you're Yale. Yale fought, they shot 32 from
20%.
The floor. What was that?
What'd you say it was? 14 out of how many shots?
65, yeah. Are you doing math right now?
Yeah, 21%.
Nice. Yale on the day shot 32%, but we were talking about it with, like, 4 minutes left, and Yale went on that, like, 10-0 run. They made a few field goals in a row there. So they ended up shooting 32%, but let's be honest, as far as relevant time, it was in the 20s.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah, the last – we were trying – we were joking about this. They were trying so hard to let Stretch score.
Yeah.
They were trying to get Stretch the ball, if you're watching, and had a couple of turnovers because of it. He threw up two threes almost – they were actually good looks. It wasn't like they were way off. They just didn't quite fall. And so, yeah, they went on a little run there at the end just from us, you know, not necessarily being completely locked in. So,
yeah,
we shut them down. I mean, we made them shoot incredibly poor.
Right.
Everywhere.
No, I mean, it was very clear who the better team was in this one. As Auburn wins 86-64 against the Yale Bulldogs in Auburn Arena, this is After the Game Basketball. We're broadcasting live from Baumhauer's. Our friends at Baumhauer's, we're hanging out here. On the patio, beautiful day.
Beautiful.
Wonderful day.
I would think it was like April.
Yeah, it feels like April.
It's December 4th.
In fact, we were talking about, like, are we going to be on the stage inside or are they going to have us outside? And we checked the weather. This was like on a Wednesday afternoon conversation. Like, oh, it's going to be 70 degrees. And I'm like, yeah, please put me outside.
I had to take a layer off.
You did.
I got a little smoldering.
Yeah, I think so. But, hey, they've got a ton of things to get you ready for the holidays here at Baumhauer's.
Platters, baby. Platters.
Yeah, some party-ready trays. I like platters.
I'm a big fan of the
platter. I'm a platter guy. Nana's Chicken Salad serves 15 to 18 people. If it's Nana's anything, you know it's good.
Yeah, oh, yeah. 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Then they've also got a tray for buttermilk fried chicken tenders, as well as black and white chicken. Got a lemon pepper grilled chicken breast served with Baumhauer's white barbecue sauce. Sounds delicious. And also, an easy stocking stuffer. I know stocking stuffers stress a ton of people out. Well, here's the answer.
Stuff it up.
Here's the answer. With every $25 in gift cards purchased here at Baumhauer's, you get a bonus $5 gift card.
Boom.
Are you kidding me?
Stocking stuffed.
Are you kidding me?
Let's go. Free money. Free money. We're giving away free money here.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. No, come by and hang out with us. Speaking of stuff, man, Jabari Smith had one where he just absolutely stuffed the basketball. I mean, he is just so electric. He is just so much better than everyone else is on the floor. Like, the gap between him and whoever is number two, which right now is probably Katie Johnson, is just so vast. It just looks so easy for him.
You know, we talk about guys being one and done guys, and we've had Auburn obviously has had a couple, you know, with Sharif and Okoro,
right?
But you know, Okoro, it kind of took him a while to where you noticed that he was going to be a one and done guy. This guy, you know, like you could tell that dude is a one and done. He's gone. He's a top five pick. You can see it. You can see it the whole game from every aspect. I mean, he was having he had a couple of steals. Shoot three. If he has a set three, if we run a play where he has a set three, I mean, I just go ahead and count it in my head. I go ahead and count it. He hits his free throws. He gets rebounds. He's
– Well, and I talked about this with Justin Ferguson. He's extremely handsome, very, very handsome. But we talked about this earlier in the week with – I talked about it with Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer, and it's like, you know, when Isaac Okoro stepped foot on campus, it was like, okay, Auburn's finally got this top 10 pick. I don't think we thought he'd be top five day one, but we he was kind of slated as a top 10 guy. And it's like, cool, Auburn's finally got this lottery pick. But, like, he didn't want the basketball. You know
late,
what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And then Chuma was the same way. He missed the lottery pick just barely. But by the time Chuma, like, it clicked in his head where he's like, oh, I can dominate at the college level, you know, they helped him go on that, you know, that Final Four run. And then it's like, after he figured it out for a few games, you know, unfortunately he got injured there. So right. It's nice to see that Auburn's probably got a top three NBA draft pick with Jabari Smith, and he has just hit the ground running. He has become comfortable with the basketball right away. 334-321-1390 is how you can be a part of After the Game Basketball. And our first caller of this 2021-22 season is Taco calling from Auburn. Taco, what's going on, brother? All right, we will go to break. Taco, hold on. We're going to try to get you on the other side of this. You're listening to After the Game Basketball on ESPN 106.7. ESPN 106.7, Zach Blackerby, Kyle Rush, broadcasting live from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Auburn. The Auburn Tigers defeating the Yale Bulldogs. What do you call Yale?
The Nerds.
The Nerds. 86-64. Let's try this again. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I have all the right buttons pushed now, Kyle. So, Taco, sorry about that. How are you doing?
Hey, can you hear me this time?
Yeah, sorry about Taco. That. I've been doing
what's up, guys?
Yeah, no, man, good to hear from you. Good to hear from you. What's going on? What did you think about the game?
We obviously played very well, probably the best game in the season so far against a not very good basketball team. But, you know, Yale, they could shoot the three. And we, of course, all the blocks, like y'all talked about, was insane.
Yeah. No, I mean, the height differential, I mean, was just apparent. And, you know, Kyle mentioned the
– And talent.
Yeah, Kyle mentioned the timing of it all and coaching. I mean, there was never a question of who the better team was, which is exciting. I mean, I think this Yale team, I was thinking about this on the way into Baumhauer's Taco, but this Yale team, actually, the way they play with the four guards and then one big man, and the, you know, they want to run and they want to shoot it and all that, it reminds me a little bit of like the like a Jeff Lebo team for back in the day when we started like four guards. Like throwing it way back. I know a lot of people don't want to think back to that era, but it kind of reminds me of that to some extent. But obviously Auburn, the much better team. Taco, did anybody specifically stand out when you watched this game?
Well, the big question I had was when Walker Kessler came out. That was a little bit scary. But Katie Johnson, you know, he got hurt early in the game, and he ended up with, like, I don't know how many points he had, but it was a lot. And he's been a big surprise to me this year. But, yeah.
No, absolutely, Taco. Absolutely, man. No, thank you for your call. Really appreciate it. Would love to hear from all of you folks. 334-321-1390. I have the right button pushed here on site now, so my bad on that. But, yeah, I mentioned Katie Johnson. I mean, it seems like he's gone down a handful of times this year, and he just kind of gets back up, and, like, Auburn Twitter starts freaking out. It's like, you can have my knee, Katie Johnson. I'll do anything for you.
Take me, Lord.
Yes. but he gets back up. I mean,
the guy plays so hard.
He plays so hard.
He plays so hard, he's going to kill himself. No, he plays really hard. He goes up against, it doesn't matter who it is, he's going to go up with you. He's going to try to take it to the hole on you, no matter how big you are. And he gets slammed, he gets banged, but he's a tough dude, man. I think he likes it.
Likes getting beat up?
I think he just enjoys getting banged on. Like,
some people are
pain.
Wired that way, man.
He is crazy. And the way he can sense things, and you can see it when he sees it sometimes too. I feel like whenever you can almost feel a steal coming on, you can see that he sniffed it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's unbelievable. He just makes things happen.
When KD Johnson and Zepp Jasper are on the court at the same time, I mean, it's probably the best combo of guards in the SEC defensively.
Oh, the best, I mean, no question.
I mean,
no
it has to. If you're the opposing coach, you have to change how you do things. Like, seriously, you've got to pass it down because they will not let you just dribble it down the floor.
Katie is the guy that every other team is going to absolutely hate. Like, he's the one player on your team that everybody else will hate.
How did he not start for a bad Georgia team last year?
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's the most amazing thing in the world.
He's so good.
Yeah, he is.
He's
good.
A top 100 player. Like, I mean, I don't. He's awesome.
Yeah.
You're, so lucky to have him.
You're exactly right. All right. We haven't talked about Kessler yet. Walker Kessler, 0 points. He only shot it twice, was 0 for 2 there, and he missed a 3 that he took. And not a whole lot of stats outside of that. He had 2 rebounds.
4 blocks.
He only played 8 minutes, so which is kind of incredible that he had 4 blocks in 8 minutes. But I kind of wonder – I kind of wonder what's going on there.
Well, he went down a little bit early.
Yeah, I hope it's nothing serious.
I don't think it's anything serious. It's just one of those games where it's like,
why play him?
Why?
Yeah.
You need him. We do need, regardless of how, sometimes I do feel like we're not quite good enough at getting him the ball. Most of his points seem like to come off of like cleaning up stuff, offensive rebounds, putbacks,
right,
stuff like that. But don't want to risk anything with him. I've had somebody text me that was sitting behind the bench. They said he's fine.
Like, good.
He wasn't laboring. They didn't take him off. He should be fine. So,
well, with people that tall, I mean, you hear about ankle and knee injuries all the time. Sure. It's just, you know, the body's not made for you to be that tall.
And jumping up and down.
Yeah, and he moves so well for his size. So, I mean, if there's a game where we can only give him 8 minutes, I'm totally cool with that.
I'll take it 1-1 when we win by 22.
Yeah. No question. It's just not worth it.
And you really won by like 30. You're up by like 30.
Yeah, yeah.
You spent the better part of 4 minutes trying to get stretched 2 points.
He'll get them.
He'll get them.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest. I kind of forgot about stretch this season.
I think that's something to talk about. I mean, he hasn't dressed the last several games, and people were wondering. I mean, when they put walk-ons in, mm-hmm. stretch doesn't get in. I wonder if he's been banged up.
Yeah.
And this was one of those games where he came back and was able to play. He played some good minutes. I think he had a couple of stats. He had three blocks in the limited time that he got, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. Threw a couple up in the stands. Three blocks, two rebounds, and a personal foul. It's a pretty solid day for stretch.
Yeah, I think that's kind of going to be what you expect. But, you know, I mean, if you haven't – oh, if this is a close game, do you think we see stretch?
Probably not.
Probably not?
No.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But this is a good time to get him back in the
swing. Yeah, there's no
doubt.
You
may need his fouls. You may need his fouls later in the year. You're going to run if Kessler gets in foul trouble and then you need to rotate – Dylan and stretch, just you may need his fouls later on, and you know, get him back in the swing and things where he's not a complete liability, and let him work.
Yeah, and Auburn's got a pretty manageable non-con schedule moving forward. So
yes,
use this time to get better. Use this time to get some of your depth pieces in shape and healthy, and keep your starters healthy. And I think the way Bruce managed his team today did exactly that. And I think that's something. Something to be pumped about. So, Dylan Cardwell. Tell me if this is the most Dylan Cardwell stat line ever. 10 points off of 5 of 6 shooting. He had 6 rebounds. He had 3 blocks. He played 17 minutes. He had a plus-minus of 18. That's Dylan Cardwell in a nutshell.
That is Dylan Cardwell.
Beautiful.
Just all wrapped up with a little bow on it right there.
And I think a theme that we're going to talk about every week as we do after the game basketball here every Saturday following Auburn basketball games live from Baumhauer's. But this team has such a nice combination of experienced college basketball players and then, I mean, your high upside guys.
We talked about
like
this.
Jabari.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how you win in today's world of college basketball, is you have your lottery picks, and then you surround them with talented, effective, and efficient role players.
Guys that are going to be here 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
We talked about this before we got on air. Auburn has, like, that perfect mix.
You're right.
You know, with your Chris Moores, your Jalen Williamses, your Dylan Cardwells, those guys that are good players. They're good players. They're not – lottery picks or draft picks yet, and they're going to be here 3 or 4 years. And then you drop in a Jabari, you drop in a Flanagan, you drop in somebody like that, and it just makes this team so special.
Yeah,
so special.
I mean, the upside of this squad is crazy. And I don't know if KD Johnson's going to do enough to, like, draw an eye from the NBA. I don't think he is. I just think he's lacks some physical aspects, which is a shame because I think he has everything else. But you know, Zepp, I don't know if he's that guy. Dylan, I don't know. But, you know, I think if anybody, maybe Jalen Williams, you know, but I still think he's years away from getting to that point as a shooter. So,
sure.
But just efficient guy. And, like, Chris Moore, I talked about this a lot after the first game. But Chris Moore is a bigger part of this team than I ever would have guessed going into the season. But you need guys like Chris Moore that are extremely physical. He's very big. And he can kind of do a little bit of everything. He's not a great shooter. He's not a great rebounder, but he's pretty decent at both of those things.
Exactly. 5 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals.
I'll take it.
Give me that every
from
game.
From like the 7th or 8th guy on your roster, yeah, I'll take
Give
it.
Give me that every game.
Yep,
yeah,
no question. No question about it. No question about it. Hey, come by and check out our friends at Baumhauer's. They've got a ton of cool specials for the holidays, including multiple party-ready trays. If you're hosting family or if you need a work event catered, they are the place to go. They've got a bunch of traditional wings as well as chicken fingers and Nana's chicken salad. They've got a ton of good things and really good prices. And also, for every $25 of gift cards that you purchase from Baumhauer's, you'll get an extra $5 gift card. Easy stocking stuffer or office present or a Dirty Santa thing. They got a ton of things going on. And I tell you what, the food here is top-notch. Kyle, you eat here like 8 days a week.
Often.
But, yeah, they brought us some of the shrimp.
Oh.
Is it Bam Bam Shrimp? Is that what it's called?
Shrimp,
yeah. They brought us some
shrimp.
Of that. They brought us some gooey fries. Some of the best appetizers in town. Maybe the best.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah. Come by and hang out with us or give us a call, 334-321-1390. We continue.
This
game live here at Baumhauer's in Auburn. I'm Kyle. Zach, we're here ready to mix it up, talk a little bit more basketball. Zach's going to give us a little rundown, see what's happening around the SEC.
Yeah, some ranked-on-ranked action happening throughout the conference today. Obviously, Auburn with the most compelling win so far of the day, 86-64 against the Yale Bulldogs. We'll jump back to that game in just a second. But 13th-ranked Tennessee taking care of Colorado, 69-54. Nice. But the big upset today, Ole Miss – beating a ranked Memphis team, 18th-ranked Memphis, 67-63. I mean, it's been crazy to see how good the SEC has been so far this season. And yes. Then one of the unranked teams, like Ole Miss, making a major statement.
Absolutely.
Yep. You got to love it.
Memphis is no joke, and they take them down. Took them down.
And then 10th-ranked Arkansas, they're up 32-24 against Little Rock. And then the premier matchup happening tonight, the battle in Seattle. There we go. If you Google that, a lot of political stuff comes up. Just a heads up there. But 16th-ranked Alabama taking on number 3-ranked Gonzaga. So that's on ESPN2 this evening.
And you got Vanderbilt and SMU.
Yep, there you go. So the a big story that we have seen pretty much every TV broadcast gravitate to over the course of the 40 minutes of basketball, because a lot of Auburn's games so far haven't been close, is, all right, once it's not really a contest and they need to start, you know, kind of branching off the other talking points, they pretty much have a camera on Allen Flanagan for the second half. And right. That's what we saw today. And, you know, a lot of folks, we've seen it a million times this year on social media and message boards saying, can you imagine this team when Allen Flanagan gets back? And I'm going to be a little controversial here.
Sure.
I don't think he's going to be a step in and be great kind of guy. I mean, he had an Achilles injury. That's a big deal.
Sure.
That really impacts you as an athlete.
I don't disagree. And you know what? There may be a little adjustment period. I think the chemistry with the squad, the starting five that's on the court right now is definitely building. But, like, the dimension that he brings to the game, like, just take Devin Cambridge, what he did today. He was 2 of 6 from three. So that's 6 of his 10 points came from three, and then 2 of his other points came from the free throw line. Not a lot of – and where I feel like what we're missing is that real inside banging score at the hole type game, and that's what Allen's going to bring. And that's when you get the cleanup rebounds from Kessler. You get the dish outs. That's something that he can do. He can handle the ball well at 6'6", 215, 220, and he can come down with a head of steam and get to the hole. And that's something that we greatly, greatly need to really, really complete this team. And you're still going to have Cambridge to be able to come off the bench and give that spark, those highlight reel dunks and things like that. But you're absolutely right. There's going to be an adjustment period. Because these guys are vibing each other right now, big time.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, Bruce Pearl does this so well, but just the chemistry is so important with how these teams play basketball, especially with them running as much as they do, and then the guards will drive it in and dish it off to Kessler or another big man down low. You know, how does Allen throw that off? And do you start him when he comes back and just play him 12 minutes? Or do you bring him off the bench? I mean, it sounds like he's been a tremendous leader off the floor, which is obviously very, very important. So do you reward that by setting the tone and saying, hey, he's coming off the bench? I imagine Devin Cambridge would be fine with that, just based on right. the dynamics of the personalities on this team. I don't think anyone would be upset over that. But, I mean, I think that's where Bruce Pearl's his best, is managing a roster. Exactly. And I can't wait to see how he does it.
That's such a big point as far as underrated skill and being a basketball coach is knowing the combinations of who to put in and the being able to see the chemistry and know what can, you know, what goes where. Like, it took him a couple of games to realize that, you know, Wendell is a little bit more effective coming off the bench at point.
Yeah.
You need KD out there to start the game. And Zepp is our starting, you know, definitely our starting point guard. There's no questions asked about that. So it takes a little while to figure that out. That's what I'm saying. I don't think you're just going to see we're going to force something. We're going to force something when Flanagan gets back. He's going to go in at the right place. And, you know, if that's off the bench, it's off the bench. And if it's starting, it'll be great too.
Yeah, we mentioned Zepp's defense, but his offense today was pretty effective. 4 of 6 from the floor. He made both of the threes.
Yes.
I'm just now realizing that. But, yeah, he had 10 points, made 2 of 2 from deep. 7 rebounds. I mean, that's not a – nope, my bad. 2 rebounds, but 5 assists. I mean, that's not really kind of what Zepp Jasper is known for.
Right.
It's more of his lockdown defense, but he facilitated today. Second on the team with assists, second to Wendell Green, who had 6 assists in just 19 minutes.
Right, right. Zepp, love his game right now. He's
so team first, it's crazy.
He is. He's I think he's figuring out this level. He's figuring out how to play at this level. And he understanding I don't have to be the guy. I have other guys around me that I can help, you know, get the ball and score or whatever. I really like him. One thing, if I had to put one criticism – I want to see us get more inside. We only shot 13 free throws today.
Yeah.
I want to see us – we have such big length. We're sort of – you know, we're kind of almost like a really big finesse team almost. I want to see us feed the ball inside, bang, shoot 20 free throws a game. I want us to get to the line, see us be a score a little bit more inside, a little bit more, I guess.
And I agree with you. That could definitely be something where this gets better. 34 points in the paint, but Auburn was 10 of 22 on layups. And
right.
That's not just a this game thing.
No.
It seems like they
gotta
get down
finish.
Low and they – well, it seems like they just kind of lose the basketball a lot of times.
Yes.
I mean, it's not always just them missing, but it's just – it doesn't look comfortable for this team yet.
Especially some of the big guys. If you get that rebound, they like to bring it back down and go back up, and it seems like every time they bring it down, it gets stolen or whatever, which is tough for really tall guys. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I just want to see us get – if we could add that dimension to our game and learn how to feed it inside and really take advantage of our length, score, bang, get free throws, that's going to be what takes us to the next level.
Yeah, and if Kessler played more than 8 minutes this game, does that go up a little bit? Probably. I would think that it does, but – I mean, still, even if he gets to, I don't know, if he gets 10 points, it totally changes what that stat looks like. You know what
right.
I mean? So, I don't know. What Auburn had 71 possessions, and they attempted 22 layups and made 10. Like, that's not
ideal.
That's not good enough.
No, not at all.
That's not good enough.
Especially against a team that you just tower over for the most part.
Right. And, you know, with games like this, it's almost, okay, how much of this actually matters statistically, because
right.
everything in the second half on both teams is just kind of like, okay, you know, who
let's just get it over,
who cares, you
yeah.
know, so
get the game over.
Coming up, Auburn plays next Saturday. That's their next bit of action, so a week off for this team, which is good. But they take on Nebraska in the holiday Hoopsgiving. You're going to that, aren't you?
I'll be there.
Yeah, so that'll be in Atlanta. It starts at 10:30 local time, so come enjoy lunch with us here at Baumhauer's next week. But that's a team that I think this is going to be a fun matchup. You don't see Auburn play Nebraska and things a whole lot.
I love seeing these types. I love that Bruce does these types of things, just gets these different.
I think it kind of gets you, I mean, it has a tournament feel. You're
sure.
Going somewhere else to a neutral site to play a team that you don't typically play. Feels like a tournament game.
Absolutely. And they're not necessarily, I don't think they're very high in KenPom, but still, it's a brand. You know, going and taking on a brand that you don't typically get to play against, like you said, it'll be a good test.
Yeah, and I'm looking at their stuff right now. They're actually not very good. They're 5-4 overall. Looks like their best win's against Colorado.
Yeah, 102 KenPom.
Yeah, like they lost to Creighton. Yeah, they're not very good. That's okay. That's okay. Go there and take care of business.
Take care of business.
But I love that they're playing in Atlanta because Bruce Pearl is like recruited the heck out of Georgia, man.
You don't think that's by design?
No, everything that man does is by design.
4D chess. I love it.
He was like going after a few recruits in Orlando and he pops up at like Gus Malzahn's first game wearing UCF stuff. And it's like, he knows what he's doing.
100%.
An excuse for him to go to Orlando to hang out with those recruits? Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
You know, we play South Florida on the road, and that's where the SEC tournament's going to be.
Right.
Held in their facility. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's all these different things. Everything has a purpose with Bruce Pearl. He's big picture guy.
And you know he's telling his team that, like preparing to go to Tampa, because
yes.
I interviewed Zepp on my podcast, Locked on Auburn, and Zepp talked about, like, hey, a big thing is this is where the SEC tournament's going to be. So, like, you know he is preaching that.
Oh, yeah.
And he's saying, like, hey, you know, focus on this.
Focus, yeah.
Get to know this arena. We're coming back here in a few months.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great point. Zach Blackerby, Kyle Rush, we are broadcasting live from the patio here at Baumhauer. It's a beautiful day. Come by and watch the SEC Championship if you want. I imagine a lot of Auburn folks listening may be avoiding that game, but that's fine. I don't blame
Understandable.
You. That's okay. But if you do want to watch it, this is definitely the best place to watch it. Have a bunch of great food. They've always got specials of some sort going on, so be sure to check that out. We're live at Baumhauer's. Zach and Kyle here with you. You're listening to After the Game Basketball on ESPN 106.7. The game's over, Kyle. It's time to talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Now, we want to talk about and highlight some individual players from today's action. Of course, Zach and Kyle here broadcasting.
It's the best time of year. It's time to command the season at Kia of Auburn. Command your family travel plans with the all-new Carnival.
Sorry about that. We're just really excited about the local Kia event. Yeah, no doubt about it. My wife has a Sorento. We love Kia. There's no question about it. All right, so we want to highlight some individual performances today. We'll do an offensive player of the game, defensive player of the game, and we'll do a bench player of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to start with offense?
Sure. I'm going to go with I don't want to be too obvious, but I'm going to go with KD. My offensive player, the leading scorer. No,
the most efficient shooter of the day, other than Dylan Cardwell. Yeah, okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
3-7 from three.
Uh huh.
Hit both of his free throws. 7-12 overall. He's just a little ball of. You know, he reminds me of Trey Blackmon of basketball, the little ball of hate, the little ball of hate. I love him. I love him. KD, MVP, let's go.
All right, I'll be just as cliche, and I'll just get the other guy. I'll go with Jabari Smith, 17 points. But still, just watching this guy play, it's just so it comes so much easier to him than everyone else on the floor. And it's just so, so smooth. And he actually led – my favorite stat in basketball is plus-minus, how much do you impact the scoring? And he had the highest plus-minus of the day, so – there you go.
Can't beat that.
Nope, you can't.
Can't beat that.
As far as defense, I'll go first on this one. I'll go with my guy, Zepp Jasper. We mentioned his solid scoring day, very efficient, 4-6 from the floor. But just a guy that's always going to – he's always going to buckle you up. And it may not always result in steals, but if Zepp is on you and you're a point guard –
you're affected.
You're affected. You're never really comfortable. And –
It's pressure.
Yeah, and then especially when he and KD are on the floor at the same time, KD just feeds off of it. And a lot of the times, like, Zepp puts pressure on, and then, you know, a bad pass happens and somebody else gets it. And, you know, Zepp doesn't get any credit for that other than just being a good teammate, and he doesn't care. He doesn't need it. Just being a guy, you know, I know him personally, but he's, you know, his plus minus was 20 across 25 minutes, and Zepp played more minutes than both Jabari and Katie Johnson and Wendell Green, I assume. Yeah, so he led the team in minutes. Yeah, what am I saying? So there's a reason Bruce Pearl has Zepp Jasper on the floor a lot.
Absolutely. My defensive player of the game, I think this is possibly his best, you know, we've seen his offensive outputs. I think this is Jabari's best defensive game. He had 6 defensive rebounds, 2 steals, and I think I saw at least, I don't know what gets credited as a full block, but he affected several shots, and he did it all with only drawing 1 foul. So he played, but he definitely was a two-way player today. Devin Cambridge also had a really good defensive game too, but I'm going to go Jabari as my defensive player of the game.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that, just because he doesn't get talked about for his defense as much as he should.
Exactly.
He's just so long. He just takes up so much space. He just impacts so much of the floor. It's crazy.
He just swallows you. I mean, swallows you with length for sure.
It's, right.
He was fun to watch tonight, both ways.
Bench player, I'll go with Dylan Cardwell here. I mean, I think this is a no-brainer. We kind of joked about the Dylan Cardwell stat line. 10 points, 5 of 6 from shooting. I mean, that's delicious. That is absolutely delicious. 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks in just 17 minutes. That's what you want from a bench player, and I think that is fantastic.
I thought Chris Moore was fun to watch today coming off the bench. 5 points on 2 of 4 shooting, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 6 rebounds, 4 defensive rebounds, 2 offensive rebounds. I mean,
yeah, the amount of role players on this team is crazy.
And he played how many minutes?
Chris Moore played 17.
So,
which that seems more than usual. I'm sure that has to do with how the game went, but.
Yeah, honorable mention, Preston Cook getting his trusty 1.
He's good for 1 a game, man.
He's a walking bucket.
He is good.
And
I mean,
banked it in.
You know, normally, Lior Berman is a walking bucket, but he didn't have it today. He was 0 for 4, but normally he gets 1 or 2.
I told you, I joked. I was like, God, there's 2 minutes left with Preston in. He may score 30. He's going to get his shots up.
Hey, he's a scholarship player now.
I love it.
Yeah,
man.
Good for him. He's a local guy, too. So
love it. Absolutely love
it. I'd be willing to bet that he's a Baumhauer.
No doubt. Preston's awesome.
There we go. All right, we were going to head to our final break. We will wrap up after the game basketball in just a moment. Zach and Kyle broadcasting live from our friends here at Baumhauer's. Hey, if you want to get on the show, 334-321-1390 is how you can get in on the action. If you want to share who one of your players of the game, if we totally whiffed on a guy, please let us know. Please let us know. Caden will get you on the air. Final few minutes coming up right here on ESPN 106.7. Final few minutes of this week's edition of After the Game Basketball. Fun first one of this 2021 through 22 season. Recapping Auburn's win 86-64 against Yale. And, you know, we kind of went into the recap a little bit early probably, but if you're just joining us or you joined us after the first segment, I mean, just straight dominance from the Tigers from start to finish. As far as shooting, we mentioned the blocks. It was like 14-1 split on blocks, which is objectively ridiculous.
Plus 13 on blocks.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. And so, I mean, they didn't shoot well. Yale did not in regards to, you know, what you would want to see from an offense. But they were ended up being like 36%, but we kind of pointed this out earlier, but those last few minutes really helped them out, and it hurt Auburn, but the last few minutes didn't matter, and both teams were playing that way. So they actually shot better from 3 than they did from the floor, which is interesting.
That is. That seems to be Auburn's calling card this year, though.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's every year. I think maybe that's just a weakness of, like, our style of play. I don't know, but, I mean, 36 from 3 is not terrible for Yale.
No, that's not terrible. Can't have your first out of your first like 12 shots, you can't have 6 of them get thrown in the bleachers. You got to be able to score inside. You can't rely on the 3 totally, and they just couldn't score inside on us today.
Yeah, so some fun action happening with Auburn's non-conference over the rest of the be excited over the rest of the non-con. We talked about Nebraska next Saturday.
Yes.
Also part of the Holiday Hoopsgiving. Nope, not a part of this. But North Alabama and St. Louis and Murray State. And then they get things going against LSU on December 29th. So of those four games, I think it's okay to expect Auburn to go 4-0 in those.
You should. I mean, that's I would think, kicking off the conference season with only one loss, finish these last three or four games strong, get you ready, hopefully get Flanagan back by that time, and you're ready to go.
Does part of you wish Auburn had a tougher non-conference schedule?
It's
like they had a tough week. That was kind of it.
You know, that the postseason tournaments, I feel like, have a lot to do with that. We had a pretty good couple of teams there, but yes and no. I feel like it's perfectly – we had a bunch of teams that were around that, like, 40 to 60 KenPom RPI type team, a bunch of those type teams, which I think are not terrible for your resume, but they can help you in other aspects and
right.
Gives you know, sort of – ease yourself into the competition. I mean, we have five new starters. So, I mean, it's a brand
right.
new team. A brand new team.
Yeah, and it's like USF is fine. UCF is fine. But, yeah, I mean, the week between, like, UConn, Loyola Chicago, and Syracuse. Syracuse, now we're starting to learn, isn't very good. But, you know, Loyola Chicago should be a tournament team when it's all said and done. But,
right.
And then, you know, UConn – they're definitely a tournament team, and how you lost is respectable. I mean, you did not right. go down fighting. How much are they going to look into that when it comes to seeding at the end of the year? Probably not a whole lot, I don't think. But, I mean, SEC play this year is going to be so fun from an Auburn perspective, but from a conference perspective. I mean,
conference is deep, man.
LSU can deep. Play. South Carolina's Florida can play. Alabama can play. Ole Miss. We're going to recap that one on January 15th, but, like, you know, they just beat a ranked Memphis team.
Tennessee's going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And then the Big 12 Challenge, we play Oklahoma. Like, I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff that's going to happen this season.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. A lot to look forward to, and I think we're building. I feel like each game we get a little bit better and a little bit better. Just keep building that and keep building that momentum moving forward.
Right. Right, absolutely, absolutely.
Keep everybody healthy.
Hey, man, fun. It's always fun broadcasting here from Baumhauer.
It's a blast. Love it here.
Yep.
I'll be back Tuesday.
You will. You will for kids' night.
Kids' night every Tuesday.
Kids eat free.
They do.
What's better than that?
Can't beat it.
When you have 10 kids like you, it's a no-brainer.
they get sad when they see us coming. I don't really have 10 kids.
No, it doesn't.
They seem like 10.
That may be true. I don't know. But, no, thank you so much to Baumhauer's for hosting us. And we will be back every Saturday recapping every Auburn basketball game throughout the season. Shout out to our guys at in the studio. Caden White did a great job holding things down back in the studio today. We'll be back next week. This has been After the Game Basketball on ESPN 106.7.